Oppenheimer's foreign affairs essay sparked a vigorous debate within the Eisenhower administration on what the public should be told about nuclear weapons. That had been Oppie's intention. He had hoped that his blunt description of the dangers the country faced from an unfettered arms race would prompt a reconsideration of the notion of relying so heavily on nuclear weapons. Candor was necessary precisely because the public ought to be frightened at the prospect of an endless arms race. As Eisenhower and his aides wrestled with the issue, the president found himself pursuing contradictory ends. "We don't want to scare the country to death," he told Jackson after reading one of his draft candor speeches. And he told Strauss that he wanted to both be candid about the risks of nuclear war and yet also offer the public some hopeful alternative. Strauss disagreed, but astutely held his tongue. To his mounting frustration, it appeared that Ike was attracted to some of Oppenheimer's ideas, and Strauss was determined to disabuse the president of the notion of their value. Early in August 1953, Strauss had cocktails with C.D. Jackson, and afterwards, Jackson noted in his diary, "Very relieved to get from Strauss firm categoric denial any feuding between him and Oppenheimer and any reluctance pursue candor, except for stockpile arithmetic." A shrewd bureaucratic infighter, Strauss had lied to Jackson.
That very month he had secretly collaborated with Charles Murphy at Fortune on a second essay bitterly critical of Oppenheimer's call for candor on atomic secrets.
Events also conspired to help Strauss.
Late that August, newspaper headlines around the country blared the news, "Reds test H-bomb." Only 9 months after the first American test of a hydrogen bomb, the Soviets had apparently been able to match that feat. At least that is what the American people were told. In fact, the Soviet test was not the technical achievement it appeared to be. It was neither truly a hydrogen bomb nor a weapon that could be delivered in an airplane.
But the impression that the Soviets were perhaps ready to surpass the American nuclear arsenal gave Strauss further political ammunition to block Oppenheimer's call for candor.
Eventually, Eisenhower found his hopeful alternative and presented it in a speech proposing an Atoms for Peace program. He suggested that the U.S. and the Soviet Union should contribute fissionable materials to an international effort to develop peaceful nuclear energy power plants. Delivered on December 8, 1953, at the United Nations, the speech was initially a public relations success. But the Soviets failed to respond. And neither had the president been candid about American nuclear weapons. Gone from the speech was any accounting of the size and nature of the nuclear arsenal, or any other information that was grist for a healthy debate. Instead of candor, Eisenhower gave America a fleeting propaganda victory. And far from conducting any reconsideration of nuclear strategy, in the months ahead, the Eisenhower administration would begin to cut defense spending on conventional weapons while building up its nuclear arsenal. Eisenhower called this his New Look defense posture. The administration had accepted the Air Force's strategy and would rely almost exclusively on air power for America's defense. A policy of massive retaliation appeared to be a cheap and deadly fix. It was also short-sighted, genocidal, and, if initiated, suicidal. Dean Acheson called it a fraud upon the words and upon the facts. Adlai Stevenson asked pointedly, "Are we leaving ourselves the grim choice of inaction or thermonuclear holocaust?" The new look was in fact old policy, and precisely the opposite of what Oppenheimer had hoped for from the new administration.